Can foreign investment make a dent in the nation's unemployment?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama heads to Pittsburgh today to pitch his jobs plan. He'll talk to the Electrical Workers Union in Steel City, and he'll join his Presidential Jobs Council in calling for $1 trillion more of overseas investment coming into the U.S. over the next 5 years. Gus Fauché is director of macroeconomics at Moody's Analytics, and he's with us now. Morning, Gus.
Good morning.
When it comes to creating jobs, I mean, is the plan of trying to attract foreign direct investment, is that a good start, do you think?
It's a start. I think foreign direct investment is better for long-run job growth. It takes a long time for international firms to make business decisions. And so if we attract more foreign capital into the U.S., that will boost job growth over the longer run, but it isn't going to do much for the short-run jobs picture.
What about changes to tax policy? Is that going to help?
There are changes to the tax code that could help. For example, I think the president's call for extending the Social Security payroll tax cut and actually expanding it for 2012, I think that would be a smart move. That would put more money into consumers' pockets. He's talked about changes on the employer side as well, and that could help boost hiring. So I think in the short run, those types of changes are more effective in boosting job gains.
What about things outside of government action?
Well, I think right now the big holdup is business confidence. Businesses are hiring. We saw that in the September jobs numbers, which were okay but not great. But businesses are anxious right now, and until they're convinced that the recovery is going to continue and is going to solidify, I think they're going to be reluctant to hire.
Gus Fauché with Moody's Analytics. Gus, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are lower as we await an important Slovakian vote today on the size of the European bailout fund. One party in parliament says it's against it, and the prime minister says she's going to resign if the plan does not pass. Asian shares were up today. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 330 points to close at 11,433. The video game chipmaker NVIDIA says it's going to team up with Oak Ridge National Laboratory to build the world's fastest supercomputer. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports now the chips that make the supercomputer possible are actually subsidized by the booming free market in video games.
I'm watching a scene from the video game Battlefield 3, U.S. troops under attack.
Scott, sniper!
It looks so real I could be watching the news. And special graphics chips make this possible. It turns out those chips can also turbocharge supercomputers. Sumit Gupta is with NVIDIA.
The mass market video game market is allowing us to use the same graphics chips for high-performance computing.
High-performance chips can cost $1 billion to design, too much for researchers. But Steve Scott at NVIDIA says video games are gold mines. Designing chips for gamers pays, and now scientists are building on top of those chips.
There's an amazing transformation taking place right now.
Titan will be blazing fast, capable of doing 20 million billion math problems a second. Scientists will use it to model new drugs, understand the origins of the universe, and attempt to predict climate change. None of it would be possible without games. So go ahead, play. Help save the world. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Harper Business, publisher of Jim Collins' new book, Great by Choice, exploring why some companies thrive despite immense uncertainty wherever books are sold. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
There could be a $20 billion foreclosure settlement in the works between federal and state authorities and some of the nation's largest banks over improper mortgage practices. Fox Business reports that could come as early as next week. Meantime, there's a still-to-be-resolved question of whether homebuyers suffered any financial harm. Surveys show there are other types of harm as well. Marketplace Economy 4.0 special correspondent David Brancaccio is with us now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Steve.
So to understand the real costs, we have to measure the right things? Like, what are we talking about?
Well, Steve, you've seen the HBO series, The Wire, about Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
That show makes it clear vacant houses breed crime. So it's not just the family in the home getting hurt or the bank itself. It's the wider neighborhood. Well, academics set out to measure this if they could. Dan Immergluck, a professor of city and regional planning at Georgia Tech, was one of those researchers. What he found was a big bump in foreclosures caused a big bump in violent crime.
Once you get one or two or three foreclosures on a block, you start really creating all kinds of negative spillover effects on the neighborhood, and crime is just one of those.
Well, what are these other so-called spillover effects of foreclosures?
Well, it's still a fairly new area of research, but one area that's been getting attention recently is health. The National Bureau of Economic Research has a paper suggesting when there are more foreclosures, there are more hospital visits. Janet Curry, an economist at Princeton, is one of the authors.
One of the biggest effects was mental health with anxiety or also suicide attempts.
Especially horrible was an increase in suicide attempts. 100 more foreclosures in a given zip code equaled about a 30% increase in attempted suicides.
So we've got more illness and we've got more crimes. What does this mean for policy?
Well, this could give ammunition to people like, for instance, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, who just the other day said the Fed will do what it can to nurse the economy back to health, but that it would help if Congress came up with what he called a path to the future on, in fact, foreclosures. It's clear that even if our house is okay and we pay our mortgage on time, we're still paying for the foreclosure crisis in crime, health care costs, and other expensive ways.
Marketplace's David Brancaccio. David, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And finally, a German designer and microbiologist has come up with a fabric made from high concentrations of casein, which is found in milk. Clothes made with the fabric, which has a texture similar to silk, will be sold under the designer's Mademoiselle Chichi label. Milk fabrics, of course, have been around for decades, but had to be mixed with a lot of chemicals, making them bad for the environment. The new version doesn't use any chemicals. It takes just under 2 gallons of milk to make an entire dress. That's good news, of course, because there's no expiration date. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
There are economic indicators all over the place, some worthwhile, some not. So how about a few good alternatives?
The owners have either been evicted or left the home with no intention of returning to care for those animals.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Pets, the United States Marine Corps, and a couple of unmentionables. New ways to track the economy next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.